When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, don't put pornography in actual movies in Carta.
You were pretty generous there by calling this an actual movie.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's very true.
Yeah, so how you feeling after watching the movie we're about to review?
Bad.
Bad.
I feel... very bad about it.
Yes, me as well. I do not know what it was I watched. I do not know if I'd ever want to watch it again. Actually, I'm pretty sure I do not want to watch it again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's a pretty
yeah. I think somehow it hurt my vision. I think I need to go to an eye doctor and see if there's anything that the eye doctor can do to remove the fact that I saw this movie.
What, you didn't like the cinematic masterpiece, all the Greek film work and all the cool angles they used and all that stuff?
No, I did not.
you just don't know what you're missing then.
Actually, you know what I did? I loved it. It was the greatest film I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Yes, it's like the Citizen Kane of chick boxer movies.
Yeah, well, there's only one chick boxer movie.
That's why it's the Citizen Kane of them.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
It's also the Birdemic of chick boxer movies.
Yeah, that's another classic right there.
Yes, I would rather.
Unironic.
I would rather watch Birdemic any day over chick boxer.
Oh yeah, me too. I mean, at least Birdemic kind of knew it was bad. So, the guy kind of played up things of like misspelling things on purpose, like why did the birds attack or something like that, or. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's a possibility movie, he did that on purpose.
What's that?
I said there's a possibility he did that on purpose, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed and proud of you that you took notes by watching this.
I watched it twice.
I'm sorry. Yep. I'm really sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, so, chick boxer, which I think is a play on kickboxer.
I was thinking the same thing, yes. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Because I think the movie Kickboxer came out before this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that somebody thought that, hey, let's make a movie called Kickboxer. And I'm pretty sure, from what the research that I've done, that they just came up with the title before they came up with anything else.
So they just wanted, they had the concept of like having like, a woman, basically being like, like a hot woman who's a kickboxer or whatever type of thing.
Yeah, that's...
And that makes sense, because that's the first thing I thought of when I saw the title Kickboxer. I'm like, okay. And I knew exactly what this was going to be.
And there are so many millions of ways you could make this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of good ways. Millions of bad ways. And the way they chose made it. Yes.
Yeah.
It so this movie was directed by Scott P. Plummer, who is a producer. This is the only movie he's ever directed. he's produced a bunch of low budget movies, like Robot Ninja,
nice,
Bloodletting,
oh boy,
Kingdom of the Vampire. What else did he produce? Ozone, Maximum Impact.
Oh, I think I've heard of that one.
Zombie Cop.
I've heard of that one too.
Yeah, and The Dead Next Door.
Nope, haven't heard that one.
Yeah, these are all shot like on VHS, I'm pretty sure, like in a, you know, not shot on film.
Yeah. Nope, of course not.
And they were all made in like the late 80s, early 90s. So,
yep.
And then there's,
yep,
we have writers here. We have David DeCato, Bud Palmer, who I'm assuming is probably somehow related to Scott Palmer, and Lloyd Taylor. They're the credited writers, but there's disputes as to who actually wrote this movie. So, online.
Why would anyone want to dispute this? Is it
I'm pretty sure there I'm pretty sure there are people that's names are on the movie that did not want it on the movie. A lot of the people, the re-release of the movie that came out recently, like in the last 10 years or something, some of the people changed their names on the credits.
That's great.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I didn't have anything to do with this movie.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
And there was a different opening credit scene too. I guess the greatest credits opening credit scene that we saw here of a woman lacing up her shoes for 5 minutes straight.
Five straight minutes.
And this woman is not, I believe this was recorded years and years later. So
it's not. Oh, really? They just like,
yeah,
basically. Oh, oh my God, dude. Yeah. Five straight minutes of lacing and tying shoes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like creative. Like they didn't even like show the rest of her. All you saw was her fingers and her shoes the whole time.
Because she's probably someone that's not in the movie.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. It wasn't like the regular person. Gotcha.
Yeah. Probably thinking that they're implying that it's our main character, but yeah. I was going to read you here the Internet Movie Database description of what this film is.
Yes.
Kathy, a small-town Ohio girl, is a big fan of a TV series called Chick Boxer. She decides to take up karate in order to channel her TV heroine and take on the local crime wave.
Yep.
Sounds like a great movie to me.
It actually does. Like, it sounds like a good campy movie that you could sort of eat popcorn and make fun of. But no, it's none of that, actually. It's a fever dream, I would call it.
Yes.
I would just call it a fever dream. This is a movie I would come up with in my dreams, and it be in like the movie made me feel like when I have a fever. Like, I don't know how else to explain it, but that's how it made me feel as watching
it. It took away part of my vision, and it made you feel sick. So,
but yeah, think about your vision. I got sick, so maybe there's some kind of weird CIA thing going on with their brainwashes here or something. I don't know. But
yeah. So yep. In the cast here, we have Julie Susinski as Kathy Sherwood, Shauna Bear as Frida, James Black, who actually has a pretty decent career after this, which is weird, as Colt Jackson.
Yep.
Ken Jarosz as Knuckles, Tom Hoover as Herb. James L. Edwards as Billy Anderson, and Bogdan Pesek as John Anderson, among other people in this movie that I'm not going to name, unless I have to.
It takes too long, but I don't think they're going to care that you didn't name them.
Yes.
Like, oh man, the All Too Real 2 podcast didn't give me credit for Chick Boxer.
Yes.
I think they're going to be good. Just to clarify, in case there's any confusion, this Knuckles is not the Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog. I just want to make sure you know that.
Shit.
What?
When I watched it, it was. No, I'm joking.
Oh, you thought it was him? Yeah.
So I'm kind of avoiding talking about the movie. But anyway, so what are your feelings on this movie here, Sesame?
My feelings are that this is the worst. I know I say this every time I see a really bad movie. And I'm always being truthful when I say it, and I end up seeing the worst movie, then that becomes the worst movie I've ever seen. But at this point, we've seen a lot of bad movies in the past 6 years, more than I'm comfortable admitting to, actually. Yeah. And this one is by far the worst one we've ever watched. I mean, like, low budget is fine. This looks like a $200 budget, and it was on videotape, which, you know, I don't really like that too much, but you can make that work if you're good at it. But no, this was not.
I mean, Blair Witch Project was kind of shot on video. So
Oh God. But yeah, those are my feelings about it.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you something that you may regret me asking you.
Okay.
What happens in this film?
Oh, God damn it. It's my fault. I didn't want to pick this, so I have to punish myself. I watched this thing twice, guys. Okay. This is how much dedication I put into our podcast. Okay. Like, I might seem like I don't care too much. Like, I'm not very professional. No. Anyone who watches Chick Boxer twice in the same day is either mentally ill, which I am, but is also very dedicated to, I guess you would call a vocation, which that's sad too, I guess. Watching Chick Boxer is a vocation, but this is where I am in life. So anyway, so what happens is, as we got Kathy.
And that just reminds me, folks, check out alltoreal2.com. There's a link to our Patreon there. Also, our TeePublic and other ways to support the show.
Yes.
You know, that would help with Sesame's mental health issues and stuff after watching this film.
Tremendously, it would help, yes. So, Kathy, we got Kathy again after tying her shoes for 5 straight minutes to surprisingly decent generic rock music. Like the music wasn't like any famous band, but the guitar tone was pretty good, which surprised me because I was expecting like something really shitty, and the chords they use are pretty cool. So I mean, it's still very generic music. Yeah, it's not something that you would really listen to on a radio.
I mean, honestly, the music was the best part of this movie.
Yeah. So I was kind of surprised about that, but no, we get Kathy, you know, she's a lovable neurodivergent quote teenager who, you know, is basically 30 years old in real life, it looks like.
Yeah,
who was obsessed.
I had that in my few notes that I had, is that, you know, we're supposed to believe that she's 17 and she looks like she's 30
at the very least 30. Yeah. And again, like we said, she's obsessed with this TV show called Chick Boxer, which is about a woman kickboxer who's either a detective or just fights crime on her own, and she kicks people in the balls, usually men in the balls. And that's like how she defeats the criminals, is by doing that. So there's like a pseudo feminism message, I guess, in here, but it doesn't really go anywhere because they don't know what they're doing making this movie. So her friend Frida, rightly, in my opinion, is trying to get her to have a social life instead of just waiting for Chick Boxer to come on TV so she can watch it live or when it's aired, rather, and not just tape it and watch it later and go off and do something with her friends. No, she has to make sure that she watches it when it airs, because that's really important to her.
Did you ever have a show? Did you ever have a show that you watched religiously that you really wanted to be the main character?
To be the main character? There might have been a few. I can't really think of any out of the top of my head right now, but yeah, there may have been a couple, but not something stupid like Chick Boxer. It would be like a cool character, you know, but.
I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Mr. Rogers, and that was kind of weird because I would just like randomly, you know, change my shoes and my sweater different places, and that would be
And you tie and lace them for 4 minutes or 5 minutes. Then videotape you every time. Can you imagine how long Mr. Rogers would be if every episode he takes 5 excruciating minutes,
relaces,
so just tie and lace the shoes. Both times, he's gonna untie it, the other shoe, and put on a new pair and do it each time.
If the makers of Chick Boxer made Mr. Rogers,
so we got 10 minutes of the episode of him just doing that. Yeah, that would be no, so
then he goes off and knits a new sweater.
That takes another 4 hours. Yeah, so Frida, being a good friend, is actually trying to get her to go out and have an actual life. Tells her to go maybe ask out Billy Anderson, who's a crush that she has, to ask him out. But she thinks that he doesn't recognize her because there's some other girl, quote unquote girl, who looks to be about 37 years old in real life, is his quote and girlfriend.
Billy actually looks like a teenager to me.
Yeah, he's the only one that actually looks the age.
So
he looks really familiar too. I don't know if I've seen him in another movie, but he looks very familiar.
I don't think he's been in anything else. He's been in a couple things. Actually, he's still acting.
Okay. Maybe I have seen something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The last thing he did was a movie called Side Effects May Vary. It pretty much looks like he's done a bunch of B movies. So, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so Frida wants to watch her show afterwards, which is Geraldo. She says Geraldo with a G.
I thought she said Geraldo.
No, she says Geraldo with a G.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched it twice, unfortunately. And she said Geraldo has a story about blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But
yeah.
And so there's a scene where there's a hold up at a video rental store. There's this nerd who's tripping over his own feet. He's trying to rent Milo and Otis for some reason. And the guy who's working there is like, are you sure you can handle this movie? You sure you can do it? And he's like, yeah, it's a kid's movie, isn't it? And then the karate thugs storm in and they rob the place. For some reason, the nerd tries to fight back, which is kind of cool because usually that character of power and fear. But no, he's going to go make a stand. And he, of course, he gets his ass kicked.
And one of the guys, Herb, is wearing his ski mask all weird.
Yeah, Herb is, he's got some severe cognitive issues. And unfortunately, he's verbally abused multiple occasions because of his mental issues, unfortunately. But yeah. His name, I don't know. Does the other guy have a name or not?
That's Knuckles.
Sorry, duh. Knuckles. So Knuckles berates the nerd for renting Milo and Otis and says that's the reason why he beat him up, which that's kind of a habit. To have that strong of opinion on Milo and Otis in either direction, that's kind of weird. I mean, I liked it when I was a kid. I watched it all the time, but I wouldn't beat someone up over either liking it or not liking it. So,
well, back when I was a kid and we used to have our Milo and Otis meetings, we would discuss the best ways to beat somebody up if they liked the film. Yes. It was a thing we used to do. We had a clubhouse in my backyard, and all we would do is just discuss Milo and Otis for 5 hours, and then our parents would make us come home at the, you know, when the street lights came on.
All right, cool. Yeah, so You basically had like a Milo and Otis fight club where what one person would play the role of Otis and the other one would play the role of Milo, not Mido, really. And you beat each other up, but you can't talk about it because no one talks about Milo and Otis fight club. So, you know, it's the secret.
Only dogs are allowed to talk about it, and it's kind of weird.
They could talk about it, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure why. But that's, and one of them, and in Knuckles, but you can also play Knuckles if you want to bring in chick boxer characters into the Milo and Otis Fight Club. Then one of the people can play Herb, and the other person can play Knuckles.
So I really hope kids are not watching chick boxer.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Yeah, I hope nobody is watching chick boxer, yeah, especially children. 24. Exactly. What the fuck? So Herb, you know, he's another neurodivergent character, and unfortunately, he's verbally abused on multiple occasions for being so.
Yeah,
Knuckles always says "Shut up, Herb!" every time Herb says something that he doesn't like, or or says something annoying, or takes something literally. That's very abusive. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I mean, they are karate thugs. My feelings, Herb, and you know, being neurodivergent, is that he probably joined up not because he really wanted. It doesn't seem like Herb doesn't really seem like
I'm not sure if they're karate thugs or they're just the local gang.
Oh, but Knuckles does like a karate kick,
yeah,
to beat up the nerd. So I'm guessing they might know a little bit of karate.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe just because Master Colt, yeah, as he likes to call himself or be addressed. that we'll get into that in a little bit, but anyway, it doesn't matter because I don't want this to be a long episode. So Kathy forgets her locker combination at school again. They're like 38 years old and they're at high school, and wants to ask Billy out, but instead he was going to ask her out, but then he kind of chickens out at the last second.
I'm pretty sure I didn't know my high school locker combination when I was 30.
Oh, I think I forgot a few times. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that by the time I was 30, I was way out of high school.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't remember my locker combination 22 years later, but I know a 7 was one of the numbers, but that's it. Anyway. And so Billy chickens out. He doesn't ask her out. Instead, he asks to borrow her homework instead. And then Rita, who's about 37 years old, she plays like her quote girlfriend, even though he's not really that interested in her, but she's like constantly hanging by his arm or whatever, and always acting slutty and stuff. She's got these weird pigtail type things, or not really pigtails, I don't know what you would call them, but like some stupid shit with her hair to like make her look like she's younger, like because she's like 40 and she's trying to play a 17 year old. you know, they had to do something. She's like skipping and crap like that too. It's really weird. And
mind you, I have nothing against older people playing high school students, as in
I don't either. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you're 47 years old.
Yeah,
and
you can check out the movie Pi Day Die Day, where we have 30-year-olds or more people in their 30s playing high school students. So yeah,
that was more believable though. And
yeah,
this is a little bit different. I mean, because you got Rita, you know, she's, you know, the actress is 59 years old, is playing her. And I keep making the age go up every time. She's 96 years old. And,
yeah, she's 433. And
33, she's playing 17 year old. I don't understand. Yeah. So she taunts Kathy because she's like, you can't have him. I'm going to keep him, blah, 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 or whatever. And then, you know, Billy's just kind of being nice. He doesn't really know how to break up with her. So he's kind of like, stuck with her, like, oh shit, you know, kind of thing. So Kathy sees a flyer for karate classes when she's at school one day, and she decides to go sign up. She tells her mom, and her mom is probably some of the weirdest acting I've ever seen in the movie. I don't know if it's bad or it's, I don't get it. But like, so her mom doesn't like this. You know, she tells her that she's too delicate for karate, and because, quote, they karate people in there. What? Okay. Mm-hmm. I never heard karate being used as a verb before, but okay. Mm-hmm. And
I karate people myself.
You do? You karate yourself?
I karate people all the time. You know, anytime I see somebody, I'm like, I'm going to karate you. And then they run away scared. Yep.
They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're going to karate me.
Maybe that's why they're running away scared, because they just think I'm nuts.
That could be it too. That's a good strategy too. Yep. Like, just make people think you're like totally crazy. Like, what? And then so she's like, some of the weirdest mannerisms and facial expressions I've ever seen an actor do. I don't know. The choices she made are baffling to me, to say the least. I don't know how else.
Kathy or the mom?
No, Kathy's mom.
Yeah.
the way she looks and the things she says and how she says them in the scene, to me, again, they're just baffling. So she's like, you're gonna be riding around with the opposite of the heaven's angels, because she can't say hell's angel, because apparently they don't curse in that house or some bullshit, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then she goes, we spent all this money so that you could have braces, and then, you know, they're gonna kick your teeth out. And then Kathy goes, I've never had braces ever in my entire life. And her mom goes, oh, well, whatever. Okay, wait, take a break here. What parent thinks their child had medical stuff done on them, but it didn't really happen? Like, is this mother like taking drugs on a regular basis or what? Because that's kind of a weird thing to think that your child had braces but did it. I mean,
the other day, my mom was talking about the time I had breast reduction surgery, but that I never had. So it was kind of weird.
I guess it maybe is common. I don't know. So Kathy starts like pleading with her, like she's like four, like not even 14, like she's like 9 years old. Like, but mom, I'm like, okay, you're 97 years old playing 17 year old. Like, you shouldn't be, you shouldn't be going like, but mom, you know, whatever. So she storms off in a huff. She's like, you're leaving your meatloaf behind. Meatloaf's your favorite. And she's like, fuck meatloaf. I mean, she didn't really say that, but like, and then, like, her mom does this stupid ass, I hate this so much. She, like, kind of, like, shrugs her shoulders and does, like, this stupid, over-exaggerated facial expression. And then she just, like, oh, she, like, shrugs her shoulders. And then she, like, takes a bite of her dinner, like, thinking that was, like, some cool thing to do. Fuck her. I hate that so much. What an ass. Like, it's okay. She's probably dead by now anyway. She looked like she was already, like, 60. So it's fine. You know, I mean, like, it's fine to make fun of her. And so then... then we go into the karate thugs, come back, and now they're at the mayor's office. The mayor's, quote, working late at night. I don't know what he's really doing. And then they go to, they're there to blackmail him.
The mom was in a movie. The mom was in a movie that was made in 2020.
Okay, so she might be still alive. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been that.
Yeah, but
I shouldn't have been that harsh.
She kind of just has sporadic, like, acting. Like, she stopped acting in like 95 and then started again in 2002 and then 2006 and then randomly 2020.
Okay, well,
yeah,
well, you know, whatever. I guess sometimes that happens, you know.
And the latest movie that she acted in was called Her Name Was Krista, directed by the actor who played Billy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So apparently there's some camaraderie. And, well, you know, it's like when people have like shared trauma, they do kind of have like a bond. And I think being in this movie was a shared trauma type of situation. So, you know, yes. They kind of kept contact after that, maybe do like different, you know, meetings for like, you know, AA or trauma or something like that. I don't know. So the Karate Thugs blackmail. This is, so I don't really understand the plot of this movie. It's very convoluted. So the Karate Thugs are trying to blackmail the mayor with dirty pictures of him having an affair with the secretary. But they want him to make a drug pickup. But they want to do that because they want to frame him for picking up drugs so that they can then get this corrupt cop to become the new mayor and have him essentially be the one who arrests the guy, the mayor, who was going to pick up the drugs. But then they also want to, I guess, frame this guy, the future mayor, because I don't even know. What do you know what the plan was here?
No, I was sure. I was completely confused, and I didn't know why the drugs were involved, and I was just really confused by the whole thing.
I'm trying to figure out what they're.
It's like when you're writing a screenplay, it's better to make things less complicated if you're trying to do something like this where it's, you know, understandable to the dumbest person in your audience. And I'm pretty sure that the smartest person in the audience couldn't figure this out, because that smartest person is me, of course. But I'm joking. No.
And me is a close second. And then I could not figure out what the actual plan was, because I could only deduce that maybe they were trying to double cross the corrupt cop as the future mayor so that they could then blackmail him into basically like letting them have free reign of the entire town to do drugs money.
I don't know if they were trying to then put Colt Jackson, you know, Master Colt Jackson in as the new mayor or something. I don't know who their plan was for the succession here. So
yeah, it's so, I don't know. Yeah, because we got this guy. All right, so karate class, here it comes. And so the karate teacher, his quote, big claim to fame, this is a direct quote from the movie, by the way. His claim to fame is he was once a Green Beret cook in Vietnam. Okay, all right. And then...
Which makes no sense because the actor was born in like 1965.
He was a young soldier. I mean, he was, you know, and... Diapers. He was born in Vietnam. He was born in Vietnam, like a female soldier. I mean, I don't think they had that back then in America, but like, whatever. And then, so he was pretty much trained to fight from day one. They give him like a little spoon to throw at Vietnam or something like that.
And that would be a better story than this movie.
Oh, it would be. Because the Vietnam War ended in 1975, which means he would be 10 years old when the war ended. So from like the age of two, they were already training them hard. Like, you got to fight the Viet Cong. I don't know, whatever. So he's got this weird quasi-sexual fetish for his students calling him master. Like, he looks weird whenever they call him master. Like, he's getting off on it. I don't know. Kind of weird. He calls himself Colt with a quote. I don't know. That's his nickname. Mm-hmm. By the way, he's the one black person in the movie, and he's the main villain, or it seems like he's the main villain. So we got that
going on. That's a great thing where, you know, it's, you know, advancement in filmmaking in civil rights and in film, you know, you go from being, you know, slaves and help in movies like Gone with the Wind to being the main villain in a film.
Bastard Colt and Kickboxer. So we don't really know if he's the main villain or if there's someone above him. I don't really understand, because they're doing like drug running and human trafficking, but they're also killing young women for some reason. I don't know what that was like. Was that just for pleasure? I don't know.
I think that they killed some. I think what they're trying to do is like pimp out women or something, like get them hooked on drugs and pimp them out, is what I was gathering from what ended up happening to one of the female karate students. So that was
Julia, yes. Yeah. But then the waitress, they got the waitress high, and then they killed her. So I'm not sure why. Maybe she died from too much coke, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Or maybe she just wasn't listening, so they killed her.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. whatever, who cares? So the karate practice goes on. This scene goes on for such a long time as well. It's like 3 minutes of kicking. That's the whole thing. It's just doing the kick move in unison for three straight minutes with the generic rock being played in the background again.
Uh-huh.
So we got, so far we got 8 minutes of a one, again, 1 hour movie. I forgot to mention that. This movie is only 1 hour and 1 minute long.
Yes.
So 8 minutes so far have been dedicated to Lacey and tying shoes and doing the kick move. Okay, so we got that going on.
You know that, you know that one, then, that one extra minute after that hour was very necessary for this film.
That's right. There's another minute. So 9 minutes are already completely useless. I mean, the whole movie's useless.
Yeah, but I know
that. So after karate practice, Colt acts all creepy towards Julia because I guess she's like one of the more prettier students, and so he's like, "Yeah, you're showing a lot of potential," or whatever type of thing. And then they go walk off, and then. And then Kathy's kind of like, oh, that's kind of interesting, whatever. And then, so, by the way, so in between scenes, we got Kathy basically telling what's going on in the movie. So
from
there's that.
From what I heard on another review of this movie, that they had to add those things. Like, they shot it in the director's, like, living room or something.
Oh, my God.
Later, after the movie was filmed, because they couldn't cut together the movie to make any sense without her.
So they basically had to have her tell.
Yeah, instead of showing, because, you know, a film you should show and not tell. But, yeah, it's just horrible. And okay, like, I'm just gonna say this now because I was trying to figure out a way to work it in, but so Kathy comes off to me like a character played by Vanessa Bayer during Weekend Update on SNL. Like, she just had this whole Vanessa Bayer sort of, like, you know, but like,
that's great.
Like, but not like, you know, Vanessa Bayer as herself, but like as some character she would have created for SNL.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's great. I don't even think her acting was that terrible in this movie.
No, but it was just that, I mean, over the top Vanessa Bayer sort of, like, you know, early,
yeah,
you know, like, I mean, not, I mean, like, early 2010s, you know, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, to that say makes anything sense. Bad because I like Vanessa Bayer, but, you know, still.
it's very over exaggerated. I mean, she's trying to play a 17-year-old who's obsessed with TV show. You know, so she's like kind of got that like excited mentality. Yeah, very, I mean, it's kind of
like
that.
If we're going to Vanessa Bayer, like, she played that, that young Jewish boy who is like being bar mitzvahed or something on SNL from time to time. And it kind of reminds me of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, I know this movie's just like really insane. So when she's talking to the camera, she's talking about Julia and she's like, it can't be a coincidence that Cole was talking to Julia and then she became missing. I'm like, well, that's weird. I mean, like, yeah, she happens to be right, but it's kind of a weird thing to assume.
It's a weird jump.
Just because, like, what's that?
So it's a weird jump, you know, just to that, like, oh, this guy was talking to her, so he must be involved in her, you know, disappearance, because there's no one else in the whole town that possibly could have interacted with this woman, you know? So it's like,
it's just a weird, a weird conclusion, but she happens to be correct, so whatever. But she's talking about Julia, and then she says this line. For some reason, pornography is mentioned way too much in this film, and then later on we'll talk about something that actually happens at the end of the film, genuinely shocked me, actually. So she goes, her parents and my parents should get together and do a porno. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? I wouldn't be thinking of my parents in a pornography film, let alone with another set of my friend's parents.
Yeah, I mean, especially a girl just met. Like, you know.
So she's got some issues.
Yeah, whenever you first meet somebody, isn't the first thing you ever think of just, you know, your parents having sex with their parents, you know?
Yes, well, I don't know. That's never crossed my mind in my entire life. But I'm not the person that wrote this script, so I don't know. But, so we get this weird diner scene coming up where the thugs are now setting up the crooked cop to help with framing the mayor to get him fired with the whole drug thing. And so there's this, this Billy goes to the diner with Rita, and then the guy Knuckles recognizes Billy. So he goes there to taunt him about his dad being fired because he got framed for selling crack cocaine kit, but he didn't really do it. So his dad's now obsessed with trying to find out who framed him. Like, his whole life now is just constantly going through all these different documents to find out who got fired. So that's like his character arc. And then he like beats up Billy, kind of, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the fight scenes in this movie aren't really good, so I wouldn't even really call them fight scenes necessarily, but like, he threw him to the ground, I guess, and like kind of slapped him a bit. I don't
know. It's funny. Your movie is called Chick Boxer.
Right.
You think your fight scenes would be good.
No. These fight scenes are just horrible. And so the waitress there, the one that gets killed later on, she's just like, she's washing a table for like 5 straight minutes, it looks like. I'm like, okay, I think the table's clean. You can move on, you know, to the next table to clean or whatever. So they're like, Waitress, come here. I want to order, blah, blah, blah. You know, Knuckles is just like, you know, like a terrible person. So then there's some weird shit happened here. So again, Herb takes everything literally and stuff. And so he just quoting what Knuckles said, he goes, "Didn't you say that all women want a hard time?" And then he's like, "Shut up, Herb." And then he goes, "What's the word of the day?" And she goes, "Do you mean the soup of the day?" He goes, "No, I mean the word of the day." And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You sound like a fucking crazy person. And she didn't say it, but that's what she was thinking. And then he's like, "No, the word of the day is legs. I want to spread the word." And then, you know, she's like, "You scumbag," or whatever. And then he's like, "Herb, show the waitress your persuasion tool." And Herb starts to unbutton his pants to show his penis. And then, like, Knuckles is like, "No, Herb, no, I don't mean that." Like, I'm like, oh my God. And then, so who knows? I don't know. Who cares? I'm blanking.
This movie, I mean, like I said, the writing of it is like disputed as to who actually wrote it all. You know, it was written by committee or whatever, but it seems like it was written by an AI program that was made by a fifth grader.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have dreams that you want to achieve but are scared to do so due to self-doubt, fear, and other people's criticism? I have just what you need. You need a dose of the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, where I interview guests that will motivate and inspire you to stop at nothing to achieve your dreams. And always remember, if you believe, you can achieve.
The Living the Dream with Curveball podcast is available on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, everybody. Why don't you give the old Black Lincoln Collective podcast a listen? We're funny, we're fat, and we're here 24/7 at blcpodcast.com. Anytime you want to listen, anywhere, all your favorite podcast apps. Of course, we have a YouTube channel where you can stream live with the show. Check out our shorts. We're funnier the less you hear of us. That's been a Black Lincoln Collective podcast at blcpodcast.com.
I had to take notes, by the way, because this movie was so convoluted that I wouldn't even be able to follow point A to point B. So that's why I'm just going over my notes, because otherwise I would not be able to even talk about this. So Kathy is doing karate practice with Frida in her bedroom. They're just doing the stupid kick move again.
With Frida, yeah.
Yeah, with Frida, her best friend, which again, this is a very good friend who just puts up with their nonsense constantly. She actually rented the video for Kathy. So she spent her own money to rent a video for Kathy, because she's obsessed with karate now. That's a good friend. I mean, she's like supporting her hobby.
And she spent a whole she spent a whole buck on it.
Hey, a buck in 1991. I mean, that's like $5 now or something like that. I don't know. But and so Kathy realizes, though, oh no, Chickbox has been on for 15 minutes. We lost track of time. I need to stop practicing and watch Chickboxer. And then Frida's like, oh my fucking God, like, okay, fine. And so Billy goes home. He confronts his father over the drug allegations. I guess he never heard about it or whatever. And then he says, no, I was framed, and that he's been trying to find out who framed him ever since. And Billy says, well, Knuckles, this guy named Knuckles, and this guy who practices Knuckles all the time, he said something like bye-bye to Brady. And his dad's like, oh, okay, give me more information. But what else he's saying? He's like, oh, I think I figured it out. They're trying to frame the mayor. Somehow he knew that from like the very little information his son gave. He's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what their plan is now. Okay. Pretty good detective.
It took him that to figure it out.
This is like, how would he know this? Like, just from what little Billy told him. He's like, oh yeah, I totally know what's going on. It's like, what? Okay. And so we get more bullshit karate class. Colt cancels the class because he says Julia is missing. He acts all sad about it, even though he's the one who's basically, because she's missing. Everyone, and that's the whole case. This is another weird thing. So Julia, well, I forgot to mention this. Julia did not really want to sign up for karate. It was her parents that pretty much coerced her into joining karate because they thought it would be good for her. Whereas Kathy was doing it for the exact opposite reasons, because her mom didn't want her to do karate because she thought it would be too violent. So Julia doesn't want to go. That's established. Okay. Julia's playing probably another 17-year-old or a high school student, whatever. Okay. A lot of the other people, though, are full-on adults that look like they're in their 40s, if not 50s. Everyone seems to be thrilled that karate class is canceled. Well, wait. These are likely the people who signed up for karate voluntarily because they wanted to learn.
Yeah.
So why would you be thrilled that your class is being canceled that you yourself wanted to go to?
Like you said, it's not like something that your parents are making you do. It's something you voluntarily did. It's just, it's like, I mean, like, you know, oh, you know, my parents made me do soccer. I don't want to do soccer, you know, or I don't, my parents want me to play the violin and I don't really want to play the violin, you know, but this is different.
Yeah. So Kathy immediately suspects Julia's missing because of talking to Cole because he's black and she's racist. So she goes to hear what's going on. Because that's the other suspicious thing happens is that the cop is walking to the office that Colt has at the gym as he's telling the students that Julia's missing, and then you got this guy just pop in and he just walks over to the office. That's not weird, is it? Like, and then like he then Colt goes and talks to him or whatever. I don't know. It turns out that the thugs killed the waitress that they got high, the blonde one that they were saying all the filthy things to. And they're like, oh, we can make you rich. How? And like, they make her do cocaine. And somehow that's going to make her rich. I don't really quite understand that. But all right.
Damn, that's what I've been doing wrong all these years.
You should have been doing drugs because they make you rich.
If I'd have known that, you know, I mean, these
I didn't know that either. Maybe.
Most movies have been lying to me because usually it's like somebody that's strung out on drugs is like living on the streets and stuff. But I guess I could have been in a mansion if I would have just started doing cocaine when I was a kid.
I mean, yeah, I should have joined the cocaine train years ago, even decades ago at this point. But no, can't do it. So the cop, the corrupt cop, doesn't approve when he finds out that they killed her. He's like, I didn't know we're going to be killing kids. So he goes, my daughter's 12 years old. Would you approve of killing her or whatever? And then Knuckles literally says, as the saying goes, old enough to pee, and then he gets, you know, the cult or master cult or whatever stops. Okay, so that phrase basically is pedophile shit, is what that means, because it's basically saying old enough to pee, because that's all.
But my thing is, he associating rape with murder automatically?
So maybe they did both. Maybe they raped the waitress first and then killed her, which that's even worse.
But they didn't. Both. They didn't spell that out. They didn't tell us. I mean, some things they overtell us, and then the other, and then this, they just kind of like too much of it's left like oblivious. Yeah.
Then they undertell us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to be disgusting, but so there's a phrase that people used to say. Even when I was a teenager, I would hear other adults or older, maybe older kids say it, like in high school. If it's old enough to bleed, it's old enough for me. Basically saying, once the girl gets on the screen, it's fine. Still gross, disgusting, but
I used to like chastise like clearly adults in their 30s that I was working with when I was in my early 20s that used to say, you know, if there's grass on the field, play ball. Yeah,
it's gross out shit. It's really predatory and nasty. And so some people, you know, usually wanting to be edgy, probably would go, oh, if it's old enough to pee, it's old enough for me. And it's gross, it's terrible. And so So basically, so now we know Knuckles is a pedophile. That's established now in the canon lore of Kickboxer. Knuckles is a violent pedophile who knows karate somewhat. He verbally abuses his friend, who's neurodivergent, named Herb.
So you need to remember when you're writing your Kickboxer fan fiction. Make sure that you remember this.
Oh, God. Sound of the pepper. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's all I'm saying is, you know, when you're writing your fan fiction, just remember that that Knuckles is a pedophile. And
sorry, just the idea of Kickboxer fan fiction. It's like the most miserable existence of all time. Like, what are you doing tonight? You're gonna go see a movie set? No, sorry, I'm writing my Kickboxer fanfic right now.
Yes, it's worse than Twilight fanfiction. Anyway, so
Well, true.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Okay, so yeah, you can step in whenever you want, but I have a feeling that you probably don't even know where to go because this movie is so
convoluted that I just don't really I know that like we get to this point where they're trying to figure stuff out, and she overhears all these, you know, assholes, like you were saying, in the office. So yeah, and what happens then? Like
So they killed the corrupt cop because he doesn't approve of them killing the waitress. So now he's out of the picture. He's not the future mayor anymore because that's what they wanted him to be. So now I'm not sure what their plan is.
Yeah,
because their plan was to have him become the mayor so that they can become even more corrupt, which doesn't really make any sense because they already have the original mayor on the take to begin with to let them do their illegal activity. So I'm not sure why they would need to frame him and instill another person to become mayor to then do the exact same things that they were already doing with the current mayor. Like, I don't even know why, what would even be the point of doing extra work. I don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand the plot here. But
speaking of fan fiction, like I just said, I think I figured out the best fan fiction. So you've got Kickboxer meets Gone to Maui. You combine these two. Be the best fan fiction ever.
I'm gonna write that Kickboxer. That would make sense though, because Gone to Maui actually had a better plot. Now this is sad. This movie actually makes me appreciate Gone to Maui. Yes. Like, I would actually rather watch this for a third time because I watched it twice.
Uh-huh.
Why would I do this to myself? But I do this to myself to really give you guys the fine points, because one time's not enough for me. I got to watch it once, and then I watch it a second time and take notes while I'm watching it. Gone to Maui took me 2.5 hours of notes. I spent 2.5 hours on a Saturday night when I could have been doing anything else. I could have been doing my music. I could have been reading. No, I love you guys so much that I spent 2.5 hours taking notes of Gone to Maui. I spent 1 hour and 15 minutes last night writing Kickboxer notes. So some little gratitude I would, you know, I appreciate very much. But and I appreciate your feedback very much. But so yes, I took 1 hour and 15 minutes to fucking do Kickboxer.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody wants to watch Kickboxer, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. It's on Tubi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's free to watch on Tubi. Yeah, so.
Tubi has a lot of fucked up movies.
Well, basically, a lot of movies, like, a lot of low-budget movies can get on Tubi. There's a lot of good ones. There's some gems in there, and then there's also, like, basically anything is on Tubi. So, not that that's bad, I mean, but there are some good movies on there, like A Summer to Remember, directed by my friend Jeff Fry and produced by my friends Clinton Lindsay LaForest. Check that out. That's a movie worth watching. That's a movie worth watching.
Yes. That's a good plug. I like that. Yeah. No, it's good.
not directed. It was written by Jeff Fry, directed by my friend Larry Williams. So yeah, check that out.
You know what would have made this movie 10 times, actually 100 times better?
What's that?
Is if Lindsay played Kickboxer,
yeah,
instead of person, and actually made it cool. But then again, she would have been like 12 when this movie came out.
If Lindsay would have written this movie, it would have been a lot better too. So
yeah, totally. So they kill the cop. Kathy hears it, the gunshot. She runs outside. Billy's just by the door because he was going to go drive her home from karate class because he's a nice guy because they're going to go out on their first date. So then she's like, no, like, I got to tell you what happened. So then she goes, takes her to her house and then tells her what's going on and
tells him
her bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Tells him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy's not trans. He's cisgendered. And she tells Billy and then Kathy's mom thinks Frida's there. And then like Billy kind of like makes him sound like a feminine voice. Like, you know, he's Frida. And she's like, don't make sure you don't catch Frida's cold. And then like, she's like laughing like, okay, mom, that part was actually kind of funny. I like that part. That was like the one good part of this movie. When Billy is trying to mimic Frida's voice, which, okay. So back to, I gotta focus. So Kathy gets this brilliant idea. Okay. Also too, I don't really know how this, so Kathy claims that she is Greta something's greatest fan. Greta is the person who plays Chick Boxer in the TV show.
Yeah.
And for some reason,
Chick Boxer is played by, Greta Chick Boxer Holtz is the character in the movie's name, but it's played by Scream Queen and former Penthouse model.
Wow.
Michelle Bauer. Who is in 170 different movies.
Holy shit.
Yeah. The latest of which is called Monster Mash. It came out this year, starring Michael Madsen.
Okay.
Who's sadly passed away. But yeah.
So. She was very, very hot and very attractive woman in this movie.
What she was known for is like, you know, doing nude scenes and stuff. So yeah.
Right. And so Kathy somehow has her phone number. Don't know how. They never explained it. But she has her personal phone number.
When you were a kid, didn't you have the television phone? Phone number of every television star you liked?
No, unfortunately, I don't know. So I don't know. So we're talking 1991, yeah. Ohio, before mm-hmm. internet, pre-internet. I mean, maybe a few people had the internet, but they were usually nerds or people who were in the tech world. People not have internet.
Kathy didn't have internet. Yeah. So,
Kathy definitely did not have internet. So how in the world did she somehow manage to get the phone number of that's not now Kathy, your character is getting a little bit more concerning now. Like we're not in like lovable, haha. Like, no, we're in like stalker territory now where she's got her phone number. Like,
she's obsessed.
This movie could take a turn for the worse, like real fast, you know, if you just rewrote it. That would actually be a better plot. Yeah. Is if she's like a stalker and tries to kill Chick Boxer and become her, like that would be a better movie. Like,
I'm Chick Boxer now. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That would be a better movie, but no, they didn't go that route. So Kathy calls the actress who plays Chick Boxer. By the way, this scene is so much better than all the other scenes in the movie. Like the lighting's better, everything. It looks like it was like recorded on like a better equipment.
Yeah. All of the scenes with Michelle Bauer were filmed prior to the rest of the movie even being written. Mm-hmm. So they wrote the movie around these scenes, these couple of scenes that they had. They probably had Michelle for a day and just shot these scenes out in Hollywood. And so
So that scene's interesting. So Kathy calls her, her assistant, you know, keeps saying, hey, you know, you got a phone call. She's like, no, I don't want to talk to her. And then the guy's like, this guy's kind of like Herb a little bit, where he just sort of takes things literally. And he's like, Greta doesn't want to talk to you. And she's like, God damn it. Like, you know, like, that's not what I'm. So then she picks up the phone. Like, really? Like, yeah, I want my fans to think I don't like them, you fucking idiot. Like, you know. And then so she gets really mean, though, after a while. So Kathy somehow, in her mind, thinks that an actress on a TV show is like an actual detective and can actually help her solve real crimes that are currently happening in her town in Ohio.
Yeah.
When this actress lives in Hollywood. Like, what? Like, she's a TV show actress. Kathy recognized, so Kathy's not in like a fictional fantasy land where she thinks that Chick Boxer is real. Like, she acknowledges that it's a TV show, but right now I'm not so sure, because now she's acting like she could actually help her solve the crime. So I'm not, she like vacillates between.
Well, whenever I had reality. Problem, whenever I had problems in my life as a kid, I would call up Tom Selleck and expect him to do like Magnum PI shit and fix everything. No.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a much better show than this thing. Yeah. But, oh God. So Greta gets really, really mean because Kathy just will not fucking let it go. And she literally tells her to buy a gun and kill herself. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same. Same thing that Tom Selleck told me when I needed to sell. I'm joking.
Yeah,
he would never say that. Tom Selleck
that's
is
a good line.
Tom Selleck is probably one of the greatest and nicest people on the planet. So
I know. Never say that. Can you imagine Tom Selleck just calling?
He did represent the NRA for a while, though, so there is a gun connection. But I don't think he would tell me to kill myself.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't think he would go that far.
No.
So there's so many sexual innuendos in this movie, and we'll get to that later on. Why that is such. So during this phone call, or right before Kathy calls Greta, Greta's manager or agent or whoever is trying to convince her to do a pornography film that would, quote, help her career. Okay, everybody knows, at least back then, that doing porn pretty much only sets you up for doing other porn. Like, you're not getting...
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe nowadays, because now people are more sex positive, you might be able to get away with that.
There have been some people that have crossed over, you know, like, you know, Tracy Lords and stuff like that in the past, but...
Like, one person, though.
Like Tracy Lords and Sasha Gray and stuff like that, but there's been hardly any people that, you know, were in porn and then became famous. Well, I mean, Dean Cain. But,
Yeah, but what the difference though with Tracy Mr. Lords?
Family values. I'm sorry, but anyways.
Yeah, family values. Exactly.
Yeah, but
fucking Kane, literally. This time, I'm speaking, but there.
I mean, it's very rare that somebody who's already an established TV star decides, hey, you know what, I should do now porn, because that's the, you know, next rung on the ladder of success here. You know, I go from, you know, doing television to porn. No.
Yeah, it is a weird version. It's like the opposite. Yeah, you're going in the opposite direction of what you would want to. But the difference, I think, with Tracy Lords and Sasha Gray is that they always had a plan that this wasn't going to be like a forever thing. Like, yeah. This was like to make some money then from there. So Sasha Gray, like, I've seen some interviews with her where she literally was like, yeah, like, I only plan on doing this for a few years, make some money, and get out. That was the whole plan. Like, she saved up like $8,000 to move to California from wherever she was from.
Yeah, and it's...
And so it's like, she already had like a whole plan set out from like the beginning. Yeah, like, you know?
But that's not the typical, you know, pipeline that people take from porn to movie star. So, and not that she's even a movie star. She's only been in a few things that were of note after that. So yeah.
It not to derail the conversation too much, but like, I've actually listened or watched several interviews with like pornography actors and actresses, and like, they're not like stupid people. I know that people like think they are just because like they do sex and shit. Like, no, like, they're really intelligent. Like, some of them are like super like entrepreneurial and shit. Like, you know, like,
But the thing is rarely do they expect that they're going to be the next Jennifer Lawrence or something. You know what I mean?
No. So their agent, the only reason why I got onto pornography is because that's what they're talking about. And so she goes, her agent goes, yeah, she's got to do her blowing exercises or whatever, you know, or something like that. I'm like, okay. Like, this is getting kind of weird. And so, yeah, she tells her to go kill herself.
Yeah.
And says that, you know, these hardcore fans, they don't have lives, and they just attach themselves to celebrities to, like, make themselves feel better. And then she hangs up on her. And so, Kathy, mind you, again, this is why I'm really worried about Kathy. So, she doesn't even act, like, that sad that, like, her idol literally just told her to kill herself. Like, yeah, she's just more like, oh, Rich, she wouldn't help us. I'm like, your idol literally just told you to commit suicide. Like, it doesn't affect you. Like, Like, Kathy is a weird person. like there's something going on with her. I don't know. But
I mean, I'd be upset if some stranger just walked up to me and said to kill myself. You know what I mean?
I'd be like, what? That's kind of fucked up, dude. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
So, convoluted story, but they go back to the diner. This is where the pickups. I don't even know what's going on at this point. Why are they then framing the mayor when they already killed the guy that they wanted? Were they trying to get Cole to be the mayor at this point? That, like, what was going on?
My guess, but I don't know. You know,
they didn't say or even like tell at this point. So, all right, I guess we'll go with that assumption. So, old future mayor's dead. Now Colt's going to be the future mayor. We'll just go with that assumption. So they want the mayor to do the drug pickup so that they can then frame him and then make so he can't be mayor anymore. And then Colt, who's it does kind of make sense. So Colt's the one who's basically doing the drug running and the human trafficking business. So then if he becomes mayor, he doesn't even need to like have a corrupt cop do his bidding because he is the one in charge of both things. Okay, so that does make a little bit of sense, I guess, but not really, because the karate thugs seem like they have their own plan to double cross Colt, but they don't really explain what that plan would even be. Like, what are we even talking about here? Like, I have no idea. And then
I honestly don't think the writers know either.
I don't think I think I'm maybe thinking too hardly about what the movie is supposed to be about. Yeah. So they're at the diner. Herb and Eccles are there. They said something about royalty or we're gonna become kings or something like that. So Herb goes, speaking of royalty, after this, can we go to Burger King? I'm like, oh my fucking god. Like, dude, the lines in this movie are so fucking
That was my favorite joke in the whole movie.
I know, but it's so fucking dumb.
I know, and it then, is. That's what I'm saying. But it was that bad.
It's that bad that was the best line. So they do the pickup, I guess, and then Knuckles goes, as always, thank you for shopping at Kmart. What? That doesn't make any sense. They're not at Kmart. They're not, like, why even make that? It doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not even a thing, but whatever. And then, because Kmart was popular.
That's how I end every conversation.
You say, as always, thank you for shopping at Kmart.
Yes.
That was what the farm, and I know why, because that's what the pharmacy would say. Because I have these old Kmart tapes. Where like the music then
well, no, would it wouldn't play, be like, the pharmacy, it would be the whole store would say stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. It was the whole yeah, never mind. Because that's what they would do. Cause I have a song actually where I play part of the guy speaking. I got some weird music in the background. And the song's called Kmart Ketamine Dealer. And then and he goes, as always, thank you for shopping at Kmart. Okay, so I got you right there. And then But then Anderson, Billy's dad, he ends up taking the drugs or the money from the mayor and then runs off with it. So the mayor doesn't then go with the deal. And then they go back to the gym, I guess, where the karate thing was, karate classes were going on. And they get into this weird fight scene where Colt beats up Kathy, but like really dumb, like, and it's stupid. And then and Kathy, like, for some reason, flashes back to her first karate class that happened 3 days ago, and like is somehow able to like muster the strength to beat up Cole, who's probably been doing karate for like 15 years at this point.
Yeah,
it's just like,
and is like a strong, well built man, and it's like,
yeah, I know. And she's like a teenager who's like got no muscles, nothing.
And she's a teenager who's 453 years old. But
a 453 teenager beating up like a 30-year-old dude who used to be a Vietnam cook or a Green Berets cook in
Vietnam. But that's okay. The actors are both probably the same age.
Yeah, they probably were. So she beats up Colt, but then she beats him up too hard and he knocks him unconscious. And she keeps asking him where Julia is. Because now suddenly Julia becomes the main McGovern of the movie, but she wasn't talked about at all since they first said she was missing.
Yeah.
And now suddenly she's the person they need to find to save, to see if she's not dead yet or whatever. So
I mean, the character seems like she's literally an afterthought, like in the whole plot, even.
She's not mentioned for the whole, I mean, again, this movie was an hour and 1 minute long. This movie honestly felt like it was 3 hours long to me. Like, I would literally check the time every 30 seconds to see if more time had passed, like a minute or two. No, it was like 30 seconds. And And this went on for the entire time.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the fight scenes seemed to feel longer than the scenes where she was just under sitting down on the couch telling what was going on.
Yeah.
So that's how bad those scenes were. That her just doing an exposition was more entertaining and intriguing than Colt doing some weird fake karate shit. Her somehow becoming the Karate Kid within 2 seconds and then beating him unconscious. But she goes, they find Julia in like a closet or some shit. I don't remember.
Yeah.
She's alive. It's great. And then they literally walk off into the sunset. And then the movie's over. Or is it, Mike? Can you tell me the ending, please? Because I don't want to talk about the ending. It's too disturbing for me.
So there's a scene where we go back to Greta, Kickboxer Holtz, in a completely non sequitur scene where she's in a bed and some like blonde haired, you know, stud is in the bed with her. And it's like they woke up and it's like, do you remember last night? And blah, blah, blah. And then there's a literal porn scene in the fucking movie.
Full penetration.
Yeah.
You see his dick. Well, you can't see all of it, but you can literally see.
But it's something right out of at least a softcore pornography film. And it's like.
And it's there for like 3 minutes or some shit. Yeah,
it's like, why?
And again, that scene was filmed before too, because that scene is better in terms of quality.
Yeah.
Not quality, it's a good scene. But
like the cinematography of it is better, or the videography, I should say. But it's really weird because it doesn't connect to the movie in any way.
It's like they just put it there as well. Kathy does say something like, I wonder what Kickboxer does after like a hard day or something like that.
But without that line, it doesn't connect in any way. And it just doesn't make any sense. And it's just there for the fact that you want to see Michelle Bauer naked or something. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Why not just make a pornography film with her?
What I'm saying. Like, I don't get, like, I'm not, like I've said, I'm not against nudity in movies if it makes sense and is needed for some reason. But if you're going to have just a sex scene where people are naked for no reason, why don't you just make a porn? It, you know, you'll probably make more money than this made.
So I'm guessing, though, that was also to say that she did finally take up her agent's advice and did the porn movie. But still,
and
it's so out of context and weird.
and like, is this supposed to be a scene out of the porn movie? Or
see, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that this was supposed to be her. Yeah, because they got a guy doing directions, like saying. So, yeah, this was supposed to be her taking her agent's advice.
Yeah, because this is the
director.
This is the guy that was originally going to direct the movie, saying direction to her, you know, and it's like, you know, the guy just wanted to probably direct a porn scene.
Her in it, like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. By the way, earlier in the movie, just some stray thoughts here. There were two or three times where I saw the boom mic in the shots, especially at the restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, There's a boom mic and pole right above the actors. They're sitting at a booth in a couple of the shots. So, yeah. And then then you can see it one other time, like when they're in one of the karate scenes. I'm just like, I get
That's crazy.
You know, yeah. I get it. But the thing is, it's like, it's video. You can refilm it. Did nobody look through the viewfinder and see that the boom mic was in the shot?
I don't think anyone was really paying too much attention when it came to
But it's like I can almost excuse it when it's in a film.
Yeah.
Because you film is expensive and a lot of times mistakes happen and you don't realize it until after the film's developed and then it's hard to go back and reshoot the thing. But even then you can probably crop it out in editing. I don't know what kind of editing they were using for Kickboxer, if it was just, you know, like, you know, analog editing, like, you know, no digital involved, you know, where they were just basically having two VCRs connected to each other that they edited from. Maybe some kind of like fancier like TV studio sort of setup like that back then. But I don't know how they were editing. It's just, as a filmmaker, it just kind of boggled my mind. So
yeah.
But then again, I was involved in a film that I will not name that was directed by somebody else who hired a professional editor to edit the film. And this was on digital where you can zoom into shots and cut out things. And there were boom mics that would have been easily cut out with zooms that were left in the film when I saw it at the premiere.
Wow.
And I say something to the director and he's just like, yeah, I know, but I paid him well and he did a good job besides that. And I was like, but this wasn't just like one scene that had the boom mic in it. This was like several scenes throughout the movie. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And there were and I was the cinematographer on this, but anyway, or not the cinematographer, but I was helping out with cinematography on the film. And I do know that there were other takes that they could have used too, but that's okay. I'm not bitter, but I just wanted the movie to look good is all. But
yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
So
you're the right to want that.
Yeah. So anyways, now that we've talked longer, I think, than the actual movie.
Yes, we have.
So
feel free to edit some of this down, you know?
Oh, yeah. I might, or I might keep it. Who knows? So what, any final thoughts here on the glorious film that is Chick Boxer?
No, I don't want to ever talk about this movie ever again.
Would you ever like to see a sequel to Chick Boxer?
See, that actually I would, because I think nowadays with crowdfunding and things of that nature, I think it would be easier to raise money and to hire actors because we got social media and we got different ways of connecting to people. So yes, I think that it would still be like a B or C rated movie and it'd still be a bad movie on purpose, but I think it would be much better than Kick Puncher. That's a
different thing.
Sorry. Yes. That's the kind of reason why I chose this, because it reminded me of Kick Puncher a little bit.
Yeah.
Title. Chick Boxer. But yeah, I would say that would be I would actually like, hell, maybe we can write the script if we, you know, Chick Boxer 2 and then send it out and just, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
We can get some of the actors back. You know,
like Kathy could be like a karate black belt at this point. Like she took it really seriously and just kept practicing, you know,
and she's teaching and then, people. She has a karate class called Chick Boxer.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Chick Boxer Academy right there. Chick Boxer Academy.
Yes, we got it. So folks, if you want to see that, let us know. And, you know, go to our Patreon. Let us know before you do that. And you want to donate some money. Maybe you want to fund that movie. We will make it.
And we came up with it first. It's proof right here. It's our idea.
Yes.
Chick Boxer 2, Chick Boxer Academy. There it is. Yes. That's the title.
And
boom.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's going to be great. It'll be the greatest film ever made. And
it will. Don't.
Yes. With your help, folks. No, just go to our Patreon. Go to
I'm not kidding. I might write a script. I might actually write a script, or at least partially a script.
You should. go to our Patreon if you want to see that. Go to our TeePublic if you want to see that. Spread the word about our podcast if you want to see that. You know, give us a 5-star review wherever you can on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Also, you know, be sure to share the show with your friends and comment wherever you can comment, because engagement is not just something for married couples. And
I mean, yeah, true. Oh, I forgot. We forgot to give our advice column, because we're in an advice podcast.
Oh, yeah. So do you have any advice, or do you want me to give some advice here?
Yeah, I don't have any. My brain's fried right now.
My advice is that, you know, if you're making a movie, do not just randomly have a porn scene in it. It's, you know, there's no point. You know, you can have some nudity in your movie, go ahead, but a straight up porn scene in a movie that doesn't need it. Yeah. I mean, there are other things that this movie didn't need, like, you know, the other 100 minutes of the film. But yeah. Yeah. Don't do it. Just say no to porn. No, wait, no. Whatever. In movies. Anywho, I don't know. I'm rambling now. So that's my advice.
Hey.
And our advice is a copyright of alltoreal2.com. No reproduction of this is allowed without permission. So
yeah, exactly.
And anyways, folks, you know, just remember one thing. Actually, several things here I'm going to list. That I love you. Greta wants you to kill yourself. Sesame definitely loves you.
Yep.
And until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.